Good evening to everybody. Parshas Matos, of course, discusses in great detail the Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'asim Edyonim, the vengeance that the Jewish people are to take against the Midianites after a series of Parshios and the Parshas Balak. And Matos, of course, as well, deals with the battle against Midian. Midian, of course, started up with the Jewish people, the Chet of Baal Peor, the loss, the death of 24,000 Jews. And ultimately, our turn to take vengeance against Midian takes place in this week's Parsha. And toward the end of the battle, when the Jewish people receive booty that came as a result of winning the war, and Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, Elazar HaKohen tells the Anshei HaTzava, the Jewish army, the following: Ach es ha-zahav, ve-es ha-kosef, es ha-nechoshef, es ha-barzel, es ha-bedil, ve-es ha-ofaras. Regarding those six vessels, gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead, those six vessels specifically, called davar sher yavo ba'esh ta'abir ba'esh v'tayar. Regarding this, those six vessels that you receive as booty from the Midianites, they require to be tovel, they require the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim, and this, of course, is the source of the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim. Many of them mefarshei chumash, including early Rishonim, the Ramban, to Mefarshei Chumash and the Achronim, question why it is Dafka here after the battle with Midian that Jewish people are commanded on its Tzava in the midst of Tfilat Kelim. Just 2 weeks ago, then the Parshas Chukas, Bnei Yisrael fight and have a war and a battle against Sichon and Og, and there, of course, as well, we win the war. So why there are we not commanded in the midst of Tfilat Kelim where we see much booty as well, as opposed to here in the end of Parshas Matos when we defeat the Midianites here? Specifically, we are commanded in the mitzvah of Tfilat Kelim. Mefarshei Chumash notes, to answer this question, that the primary reason for the mitzvah of Tfilat Kelim, immersing vessels that are acquired by Jews from non-Jews, the reason for the mitzvah of Tfilat Kelim is lehotziyam mitumas ha'amim l'taharasim shel Yisrael, to remove them from the impurities of the nations into the sanctity of the Jewish people. Not only does our food have to be kosher, but even the vessels, the utensils which our kosher food is served with, also require tahara, also require purity, just like a ger goes into the mikvah and becomes a Jew, so too our kelim are required to be immersed in the mikvah, ultimately in order for us to use them. As such, it would seem that the Mefarshei Chumash point out that when it came to the battle against Sichon and Og in the end of Parshas Chukas, clearly those that battle specifically and those nations did not have that element of tumah. According to the Chassam Sofer here in the Torah Moshe and Parshas Matos, who points out that God removed the Tumas Ha'amim from Sichon. They didn't have that state of Tumah, and therefore the mitzvah was not commanded to the Jewish people of Tfilat Kelim and the Parshas Chukas, but Dafka here, after Milchemet Midian, when they, the Midianites, had that element of Tumah that existed from the cosmos that went down to the nations and ultimately into their dishes, here is where we were commanded in the mitzvah because the Midianites had that element of Tumah, which the Sichonites did not. Klechemda, in the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze in Os Aleph, raises this question as well, and he suggests a different answer. The Klechemda posits that, as opposed to the Chassam Sofer, that here there's a pasuk of notes at the end of Parshas Balak, as opposed to when it came to the war against Midian, where there were nine Jews, there were Midianites who were left alive. When it came to the battle against Sichon, there was nobody left who survived. Everybody was dead. Not one remaining Sichon individual from the entire camp of Sichon was left behind, and therefore suggests the Klechemda that the only time the Tumah exists when there are people around, when there are people who are alive. But Sichon, since nobody was left, the Jewish people took the Kelim Ki'ilu from Hefker, who was ownerless property, and therefore the Tumah did not rest and did not exist in the Kelim, as opposed to the Midianites. The Jewish people did not kill all of them, only those who were part of inspiring the Jewish people to sin, and therefore, as a result, the mitzvah of Tfilat Kelim was given to the Jewish people, Dafka here, after the fight, after the war, after the battle against Midian. It's interesting to note in the Pasuk that the Torah only specifies six types of vessels. Six types of kelim: zav, gold; kesef, silver; nechoshes, copper; barzel, iron; bedil, tin; and oferes, lead. Those are, of course, all different types of metal. But what about new metallic substances, primarily aluminum, which is something that we work with, something that we cook in, specifically tin? What about that? Is that a chayav in tefillas kelim as well? Is it similar to other types of metal and therefore be chayav? Or do one argue that the Torah, since it specified these six, and aluminum is not part of the list, therefore would not be chayav in tefillas kelim? The Aruch HaShulchan in Yerodea, Simukaf Chaf, Tifkatan Chaf Gimel, says that all metals are included in the mitzvah of tefillas kelim. That which the Torah specifies those six, those were the kelim that existed in biblical times, or those were the kelim that the Midianites had, or those were the kelim that the Jewish people received in booty. But it's not coming to tell you dafka those six kelim. Other new metallic substances or any other types of metals would also be chayv in tefillas kelim as well. Ramosha Feinstein, Igris Moshe, Yoredea, Chela Gimel, Simon Chavdez argues on Aruch HaShulchan and writes as follows. That which the pasuk, the verse, describes and articulates and delineates those six kalim specifically, and it doesn't say just generally, colloquially metal. You want to have to understand and learn the pasuk that only those six are receptacles of tumah. And not vessels of other types of metal. The Torah shenitnu lepi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah which is God-given, Hari Hu baras kol minei matchos shebaolam. The Torah knew and created all types of metal. Ach elu shelo yodahin, even those new metallic substances that exist today were found 100 or 200 years ago. The Torah knew about those as well. V'mhoye b'din tuma u'tzila l'hoya l'hakra l'faret elu. And if it wasn't for the fact that the Torah was aware of those metals, the Torah should have just written mateches generally. The fact that the Torah lists six specific metals would seem to come to exclude any new metallic substance, including aluminum as well. Therefore, according to Rav Moshe, while all metals would be chayiv in Diraisa, when it comes to aluminum, it certainly would not. Rav Moshe continues and notes that not only is there a mitzvah of tefillas kelim in Diraisa, there's also a mitzvah of tefillas kelim in the Rabbanim. For example, the Gemara says, Mesechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Hei, glass, zechuches, also requires to be toivel. Now, it's not mitchiyah midiraisa, the pasuk doesn't say anything about glass, but the chayv in the Rabbanim, and the Gemara there explains that since glass can be melted and reformed, it therefore has a characteristic trait that's similar to metal. Just like metal can be melted and reformed and reshaped and refurbished and refurnished, so too glass can also be melted down, refurnished, refurbished, and reformed. Therefore, midrabanan, glass, zechuches, or pyrex, or crystal, or any type of glass would be chayv in tefillas kelim midrabanan. Therefore, Moshe says, so too when it comes to aluminum. Aluminum is no different than glass. And if glass is chayv rabbinically, so too aluminum, which is a type of metal, certainly should also be chayv to be titled as well, at least midrabanan. Moshe concludes that indeed aluminum is not chayv in tefillah midiraisa, but certainly would be chayv in tefillah midrabanan. But Moshe says, without a bracha, it should be done. Aluminum is interesting since we commonly use aluminum tins. For example, the famous 9x11s, we work with them for potato kugels, chickens, rice, lasagna, and all different types of dishes. And all different types of aluminum tins are very commonly and popularly used today. The circular, the square, the triangular, all types of aluminum tins are commonly cooked in. So if that's the case, aluminum seemingly, and the aluminum tin seemingly would require a tefillah. However, Moshe Feinstein in the very next tshuva, in Yardea Chela Gimel Simen Chaf Gimel, notes that aluminum tins indeed are not chayv in tefillah. And Moshe postulates and concludes that the reason for that is that aluminum dishes are throwaway. They're used one time, chad pami. And any type of vessel that is used on a one-time basis alone is not chayv in tefillas kelim. The Rav Moshe even goes as far as to say that even if you're to subsequently use the aluminum tin again, it comes out clean, or you could clean it again, it's still not chayv in tefillas kelim because, again, you're only using it one time. So the fact that it returns and it's soiled and you wash it and use it again, you're only giving it another one time. So therefore, according to Rav Moshe, ultimately you could use a tin numerous and multiple times as long as you're only using it for that one time. One would argue that if you're going into use of the aluminum tin and you're going to use it multiple times and you're purchasing it not just for one time, but you're purchasing it to use twice, three times, four times, and you're going into the process of using it to know that you're going to wash it and use it again and use it multiple times, then the argument can be made that aluminum tins would be chayav in tefillas kelim. The majority opinion is that aluminum tins, the 9x11s and all the one-time uses and throwaways, even if it's used one or two or three or four times, as long as it's not meant to be used multiple times, it's not chayav in tefillah kelim because of the fact that it's being used as a one-time basis. It is important to point out there is a misconception. The Rama notes this in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah Kelim Siman Kufaf, that there are those who make a mistake, an old wives' tale, that you can use a vessel once without tefillah kelim, and then you have to do tefillah kelim after one subsequent use. That's a mistake. Any kli, any vessel, any utensil that has the requirements of tefillah kelim, certainly metal, certainly glass, as we've been discussing thus far, we'll talk about other vessels, other types of required vessels in tefillah kelim, they absolutely require tefillah kelim immediately. You can never use a kli, a vessel, once, and only then subsequently tovel it. But if it's chayav in tefillah kelim, it has to be taken care of right away, even the first time. You can't wait and you shouldn't wait, so much so that if a person purchases a glass utensil and it has contents that it comes in, it used to be that the Snapple used to be come in a glass bottle, so of course you could buy it and you could drink it as is. It's a one-time use, so you're going to throw it away. But if you're then going to subsequently fill up the glass bottle again and use it again, then it would be chayav in tefillah kelim. So again, a one-time use, if you're using a utensil once, it's okay because it only has a one-time use and therefore you throw it out. If you're going to use it again, then it does require tefillah kelim because you're showing that it has the status of a vessel. However, when it comes to something which has a long-term use and it's always going to be used, that would not be, that in situation one would not be permitted to do tefillah kelim after you use it once. So thus far we've noted that when it comes to metals are chayav midiraisa. When it comes to aluminum, which is a type of metal, that type of metal, since it's a new found metal, would not be chayav midiraisa, would be chayav midrabanan, and certainly glass, pyrex, crystal, and all forms of glass are chayav midrabanan as well. What about other types of vessels? Wood, for example, does not require tefillah kelim. So if you have a wood spoon, a wooden salad bowl, and the like, those are not chayav in tefillah kelim. Earthenware, stone vessels are not chayav in tefillah kelim. And the same is true when it comes to any earthenware vessel or any earthenware object. There is a significant rabbinic literature when it comes to china and porcelain. Porcelain, of course, is fundamentally an earthenware object, earthenware vessel. China is essentially a porcelain that comes from China, hence the name china. However, today china in porcelain is built and is created much differently than it used to, certainly for the last century. Porcelain today in China today is essentially glass. It's a glass glaze that is furnished on the outside and on the inside. Significant amount of glass is placed on the outside and inside, not just for beauty, not just for aesthetics, but in order to keep the porcelain from chipping, from getting ruined. It also, of course, maintains itself much better. And therefore, since it's essentially glass, porcelain, china, your dishes, servingware that are made of china and porcelain should indeed and should absolutely be titled, because it's not really earthenware, the base is earthenware, however, essentially the inside and the outside is all glass. Plastic is also an interesting question. Now, on the one hand, one could make an argument that plastic should be chayav in tefillah kelim, at least on a rabbinic level. Why should it be any different than glass or aluminum? When it comes to glass, as the Gemara says, glass can be melted and reformed. An argument was also made when it came to aluminum, since it can be melted and reformed, it should also be chayav in tefillah kelim midrabanan, and therefore there are poskim who put forth that plastic as well, plastic dishes, would also be chayav in tefillah kelim because it's similar to glass, as it could be melted and reformed. However, the majority opinion is that plastic is exempt from tefillah kelim. Rav Moshe Feinstein posited as such, the Chazon Ish posited as such, and the reason for that is that the Torah only requires metal. Rabbinically, we only require glass. And the Torah and the rabbis never said anything about plastic. That which the rabbis require tefillah kelim when it comes to glass, when it comes to aluminum, because it begins to be melted and reformed, well, aluminum is essentially a metal. And all metal requires tefillah kelim. Therefore, rabbinically, one can make the argument that aluminum also requires the rabbinic level since it can be remolded, refashioned, melted, and reformed again. But when it comes to plastic, which is an absolutely new material, it does not require tefillah kelim. One wants to be machmir, to be stringent, to be tovel plastic. Certainly one is permitted to do so, but absolutely a bracha should not be recited. The only bracha that one will make when it comes to tefillah kelim is when it comes to metal and when it comes to glass as well. An important point to be made when it comes to tefillah kelim is that only clay seuda, meal utensils, are chayav in tefillah kelim. that refers to any pot, can, utensil that you boil in, that you bake in, that you fry in, any vessel that you roast, that you grill, or that you toast in. All of those materials are called clay su'uda, and those forms of kelim are required to have a tefillat kelim. The same is true when it comes to utensils, spoons, forks, knives, and the like. Since all of those are clay su'uda, are meal utensils, those are all required to have tefillat kelim. The reason for that is that all those items come in direct contact with food. So anything that you boil in, bake in, fry in, roast in, grill in, or you toast in, anything that touches food directly are all considered to be meal utensils, clay su'uda, and those are chayav in tefillat kelim. However, a can opener, a corkscrew, which do not directly touch the food, are not chayav in tefillat kelim. When it comes to a metal tea glass holder, you have glass and you place the glass into a metal tea glass holder. Of course, the metal tea glass holder does not require tefillat kelim because the metal tea glass holder never comes in direct contact with the food. However, when it comes to a bread basket, even though you put a napkin in the bread basket, the bread basket still requires tefillat kelim. Of course, the bread basket is either made of metal or made of glass, and that would require tefillat kelim, and the reason for that is that the napkin is not considered enough of the separation between the bread basket and the bread to consider it not clay su'uda, and therefore bread basket would be chayav in tefillat kelim. A grater, a vegetable shredder, and all types of uses of utensils that are directly touching the food, indeed would be chayav in tefillat kelim as well. So one has to recognize the type of vessel that you're using. Not only does it have to be metal, glass, or an item that's chayav in tefillat kelim when it comes to the actual item, but number two, the clay su'uda, the vessel that you're using, has to be a meal utensil. If it's a meal utensil, it's chayav in tefillat kelim. If it's not a meal utensil, it is not chayav in tefillat kelim. There are two very, very common questions that exist contemporarily when it comes to tefillat kelim. The first is electric appliances. Electric appliances are absolutely chayav in tefillat kelim. It's easy when it's a toaster. Only the tray requires tefillat kelim because that's what touches the actual food. The outside doesn't touch the food. The outside is not clay su'uda. The tray alone is. When it comes to the microwave, only the actual glass, the circular item, requires tefillat kelim, and that's only if you put the actual food on the microwave. If you don't put any food directly on the glass circular item that's placed in the microwave, it does not require tefillat kelim. If you always put a plate, or if you always put a bowl onto the circular dish in the microwave, that also will not require tefillat kelim. When it comes to a slow cooker, a chalent pot, only the inside of the pot requires tefillat kelim because that's what you put the food in. However, the more complicated items are, for example, a hot water urn, a George Foreman grill, a waffle maker. All of those items directly touch the food, and those items would indeed be chayav in tefillat kelim. Of course, many are concerned when it comes to titling any electrical appliance, especially when the directions tell you that you should not immerse the item in water. However, history and experience teaches us that it's absolutely okay, so long as you allow the electrical appliance to wait and to sit and to dry for some time. If you have a blow dryer, that will work, but certainly let it sit between 3 to 6 days and wait that amount of time, and then you should be absolutely fine. If you can't tivel it, if there's no way to tivel it, the answer is don't buy it. It's not something that can be used. However, it should be aware, and certainly when it comes to hot water and the cord, it does not have to go in. Certainly if the cord is removable, you could take out the cord, immerse the hot water urn, immerse the George Foreman, immerse the waffle maker. We'll talk momentarily exactly how to do it. There is an etza, there is a trick that some employ, but it has to be done properly. That if the kli is made by Yisrael, if the actual vessel is made by a Jew, it's not chayav in tefillat kelim. Only vessels that are made by a non-Jew, by a non-Jewish firm, a non-Jewish company, those are vessels that require tefillat kelim. Purchase something from a Jewish-owned factory made by Jews, it does not require tefillat kelim. Therefore, if you have a neighbor or somebody you know who can take apart the item and put it back together, we call that Naaseh Al Yidei Yisrael, and therefore would not be chayav in tefillat kelim. However, it can't be a trick. It has to be significant, and therefore make sure you're dealing with somebody who knows how to do it. If you don't, that would not be considered to be sufficient enough. Another area contemporarily where the questions of tefillat kelim are common is when it comes to eating in somebody else's home. Often there are people who keep kosher, but they didn't necessarily total their kelim. How do you deal with such a situation? Well, first of all, it should be known that if somebody is cooking in pots and pans and dishes that were not tayvel, it doesn't pass to the food. The food doesn't become prohibited if an individual cooked, baked, fried in a pot that did not have tefillas kelim done on them. The issur, however, is for me to use dishes that were not tayvel, that were not properly immersed in the mikvah. The easiest and the best solution, of course, is to use plastic, forks, knives, spoons, plates, and bowls, and that takes care of all the issues. If that's uncomfortable, or that's sometimes challenging, or it places embarrassment, then there is an eitzah that Moshe Feinstein has. It's not a popular eitzah. Many argue on it, but Moshe says that a solid food, which is on a plate, the plate does not require tefillas kelim, and the reason for that is really you don't need to use the plate. You could eat the food without a plate. However, Moshe's hetter would only come to solid food on a plate. It wouldn't be true when it comes to eating soup in a bowl. It wouldn't come to drinking water in a cup. But there is certainly some basis for hetter in that difficult situation. And this is a common situation. It's a complicated situation. Of course, the first idea is the easiest idea, plastic. Of course, when it comes to a restaurant, every Jewish-owned restaurant, all dishes, all vessels, all utensils are required at tefillas kelim. If it's a kosher restaurant owned by a non-Jew, which is also quite common, as long as the ownership is not Jewish, there is no chiyuv in tefillas kelim in that situation. The last item to discuss, of course, is preparation for the mikvah and actual mikvah immersion. Certainly, before you prepare and bring your kelim to the mikvah, there is an issue of chatzitza, making sure that there's no that there's absolutely nothing getting in the way of the water and the vessel itself. Therefore, you have to remove all stickers, labels, any significant rust, any adhesives, any glue should all be removed. Sometimes WD-40 is a good idea to get off some of the stickiness or some of the labels that are hard to get off. But certainly everything that can be removed should be removed. Once you get to the mikvah, it's important to remove any air pockets that are going to be get caught or trapped once you put something in the water. So ideally, the way to place a item into the mikvah is by placing it head first, sort of where the opening is on the top, and you put the vessel into the kli. If you put a item upside down, so you're going to have an air pocket in the vessel, and you didn't tumble your kli. So make sure that water gets out and about and around and all over your kli. You should make sure that if you're tiveling two or three kelim, that you're not stacking them one on top of the other, at least that they're not tightly fit together, therefore water is not touching all of the places. At the same time, you have to make sure that the kli, the vessel, or the dish, or any cutlery, is fully immersed in the water and gets completely subsumed in the water itself. At the same time, when we're dealing with electric appliances, it is permitted to cover the electrical opening either with a towel that's already wet from mikvah water, with your hand that is already wet from mikvah water, and worst case scenario, to cover it with a little piece of tape is also permitted, but the first two ways are the best thing to do. If you're toveling one kli, the bracha is al tfilas kli. The bracha is that God has given us the mitzvah to immerse a vessel. If you're doing many kelim, the mitzvah is al tfilas kelim. Have a wonderful evening.